Yeah, we're looking at the immediate aftermath of Yetzias Mitzrayim, Perek Yud Bey. Actually, it's a little before. It's the week before Yetzias Mitzrayim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe and Aaron about the mitzvah of sanctifying the new moon, and that the holiness of time will be based on Kiddush HaChodesh, and that Nisan is the first month. This is Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So this is 2 weeks before Pesach. And we are given a bunch of mitzvos regarding the Korban Pesach and the like. So really, I just want to raise a very, very simple question, which is actually a hard question. You're looking at the halachos. What are the halachos were given to Am Yisrael, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. They were given 2 weeks to prepare. What are they commanded to do? They are commanded that on the 10th day of Nisan, they take a sheep. They designate it for the Korban Pesach. They keep it for 4 days to be sure it doesn't have a blemish. They shecht it on Erev Pesach. The blood is placed on the mezuzos, on the doorposts, and on the top of the door, the lintel. And that is a sign to the Malach HaMavis not to enter. We'll discuss that as well. They shall eat the meat that night. And it says beferish like this. Umatzais al merayrim yechluhu. They are mechuyev to eat the Korban Pesach with matzah and marah, right? They are mechuyev to eat the Korban Pesach with matzah and marah. Now, as you know, there's a machlokas in the Mishnah. Does that mean they eat it like a sandwich, which is Hillel Shita? Or does it mean sequentially, you know, matzah, marah, Pesach? It's a machlokas, that's why we do both. But the point is, they were given a mitzvah of eating matzah 2 weeks before they left Mitzrayim. Okay, remember that. Okay. The Pesach has to be roasted. Can't leave it over until the morning, etc. I will smite the firstborn, and the like. Okay. Now, here is the question. And it also says you're not allowed to eat chametz, not allowed to own chametz, right? So, l'chaira, if we ask our questions historically, when were the Jewish people told that number one, they are mechuyev to eat matzah with the Korban Pesach, and they are not allowed to have chametz for 7 days. Neither eat chametz, nor have chametz for 7 days. They were told this, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Now, the problem is the following. The Torah says later that they were expelled from Mitzrayim. Paro told them to leave. And they didn't have time to let their dough rise, and because of that, they had to bake it as matzah. So what's going on here? In other words, the question is this. The implication is that the reason why we eat matzah and the reason why we don't eat chametz is to commemorate the fact that we were driven out of Egypt so quickly that our dough didn't have time to rise. Now, l'chaira, given the fact that the Jews were already prohibited from eating chametz, and they were chayev to eat matzah beforehand, even if Paro would have given them all the time in the world, let's say Paro would have said, take your time, they wouldn't have been allowed to bake. I mean, the halacha wouldn't have allowed them, the Torah wouldn't have allowed them to have chametz. So how can I say that matzah, the chayev of matzah and the yisur of chametz, is a commemoration of the fact that they were driven from Mitzrayim quickly, when even before that happened, they already were told they were not allowed to have chametz. And you can't even give an answer which you might normally give. Well, Hashem knew that this would happen, and therefore he gave them the mitzvah. That doesn't make sense in this context, because the whole historical event doesn't make sense. Because once Hashem says you have to have matzah, then you can't by definition say, I'm eating matzah because I was driven from Mitzrayim. Because even if I wasn't driven from Mitzrayim, I wouldn't have been allowed to make chametz. Right? So what is the story? So, huh?
Could be that, Mark's talking about, like, the mitzvah of 7 days, and Mark's talking about just the mitzvah of the first night.
Well, actually, we'll come out that way, but the problem is, the psukim themselves do not support that, because if you look at Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Tesvav, which is still the commandments of Rosh Chodesh Nisan. These were given before Yetzias Mitzrayim. Shivas Yamim Masay Tachelu. And it says, Kol Ha'eichel Chametz V'nichrasa HaNefesh Eim Yisrael Miyom HaRishon Ad Yom HaShvi. So the Yisr Chametz is Nichol here as well. For 7 days, it says. You shall...
This is talking about the prohibition and this of 7 days of Matzah Chametz and the fact that we... And the Chipazoyim, the Matzah that we... Because we left quickly, that's talking about just the eating Matzah on the first night.
No, I understand, but the question becomes this. The question becomes... If Lamaisa they weren't allowed to have chametz, then you can't say that the fact that it didn't rise is a zekel l'chipazon, because that has nothing to do with chipazon. Chipazon implies that if we weren't in a rush, we could have had chametz. So when I eat masa to remember, we were rushed out. But no, I would have, maybe even if we were not rushed out, I would have been forced in the same position. So there's no way that it's connected to being rushed out.
How?
In other words, why did they start?
Yeah.
So they start. Yeah, but still, in other words, the point basically is that it couldn't have been chametz no matter how much time they had. If Par would have said you can do whatever you want, they would have had to bake it matzah. So the Ran says, the Ran actually asked this question. The Ran asked this question in every Pesachim. And the Ran says the following explanation, but we're going to have to see how you fit the psukim. That's going to be also a challenge. The Ran says that there's a chiluk between Pesach Mitzrayim, that means the first Pesach they kept in Mitzrayim, and Pesach Doros, the Pesach of all the future generations, starting from the second year. Pesach Mitzrayim, the Ran, Pesach Mitzrayim, the Isser of Chametz was only the first day of Pesach. Which means the Chiyuv of Matzah and the Isser of Chametz was only on the first, well, the Chiyuv of Matzah is only the first night of Pesach. The Isser of Chametz is the first day of Pesach. And theoretically, you could have Chametz the second day. Now then he makes another point. Moreover, the Ran learns that the Isser of owning chametz, even on the first day, did not apply till the next year. In other words, according to the Ran, Pesach Mitzrayim had no Isser of eating chametz after the first day, and there's no Isser of owning chametz even on the first day. So Mimela, the Ran says the following. If we wouldn't have been rushed, if we would have had time to let our dough rise, we would have let it be chametz, not that I could have eaten it on the first day, but we could have baked the bread on day one in order to eat it on day two. There's an issue of owning chametz. No, that didn't apply to Pesach Mitzrayim. Now again, I want you to look at the psukim to see if you could, how the psukim fit, because this is not an easy fit. But Mimela, the Ran Tainas, that the reason why there's an issue of Bal Yeira'eh and an issue of chametz all 7 days, that is a commemoration of Chipazayin. Because indeed, had there not been the Chipazayin, we could have baked on day one chametz in order to eat the chametz on day two. This is what the Ran says, and in Mela, it turns out like... Now first of all, let's ask a stump question, just a question in basic shot. So what the Ran is telling me is that the matzah that I eat the first day, the matzah I eat at the Seder, is not really because of chipazon. It's for some other reason. We'll see what the other reason is. But the Isser of chametz, the rest of the 7 days, is a zechel chipazon. So first of all, let me ask a simple question. Why is it so important to highlight the fact that we left Mitzrayim in a hurry? I mean, we make a whole thing. In other words, I can't eat chametz for 7 days. the way the Rav is explaining, but this is even before you knew the Rav. Right? I can't eat chametz because I have to remember that the Jewish people were rushed out of Mitzrayim so quickly that they didn't have time to let their dough rise. They had to bake it right away. I mean, that's right. That's every child knows that. Why is that even important? Even if we say like the Rav, so the Rav was miyashiv that it's shayach chipazim, even though there's an isher chametz. Right? He answered that question. But why is the Torah koveya zecher based on the notion of chipazim? And it's interesting. Chipazim is a very, very important concept because in the Navi Yeshayahu, when he talks about the Geula Hasida, the future Geula of Mashiach, he emphasizes, Lo b'chipazayin teitzeyu. It's not going to be like the first time around, which was chipazayin. It's lo b'chipazayin teitzeyu. So that seems to be important too. In other words, chipazayin is something, and you have to emphasize that Mashiach will be lo b'chipazayin. So in truth, the idea of chipazayin actually means you have to get somebody, let's imagine somebody's trapped in a burning building, and you have to get them out of the burning building immediately without time to prepare, without time to get properly dressed, without time to pack. In other words, chipazayin is the notion, again, this goes back to the idea, they were on the 49th level of Tumah, they would have hit level 50. So chipazayin means you're getting redeemed before you're ready and before you deserve it. Lo b'chipazayin means it comes when you're naturally ready for it. You're prepared. So the idea that we were kicked out of Mitzrayim very, very quickly is designed to make us recognize, number one, that we did not leave because we deserved it. We did not leave because we spiritually perfected ourselves. But lehepach, it was totally the chasdei Hashem. So in many, many ways, Chipazayin emphasizes the rachamim of Hashem in taking us at a time when we were not really ready for the redemption. However, as I mentioned the other day, that has a very great cost. Because we were taken out before we were ready, we did not totally purify ourselves. And that's why we need thousands of years of galus, after which Mashiach will come shelo b'chipazayin in the sense that we will have been ready. But okay. But going with the Ran, first I want to look at two things. Number one, how does the Ran learn the psukim? And maybe it's good to look at a chumash for this. Again, according to the Ran, when the Jews were commanded in Mitzrayim to eat matzah and not have chametz, it only applied to the first day. And they were permitted at that point, right? They were permitted at that point to eat chametz from the second day onwards. And even on the first day, they were permitted to own chametz. Right? And the prohibition of owning chametz and of eating chametz for the 7 days, that was mischadesh only for the next year as a result of chipazim. That's the Ran. So let's see if that makes sense. Let's look at Perek Yud Beis. Let's look at every reference in Perek Yud Beis to matzah and chametz.
Sorry, Rob, it seems that the first Pesach, a lot of the like stumbles of Yom Tov were pushed off because I mean they left Mitzrayim.
Well, no, that's very true. But obviously the laws of chametz and matzah were already activated to some degree because they were given these laws 2 weeks before Pesach. So yes. So let's look. So the first reference to matzah fits the Ran very nicely. That's simply the mitzvah of eating matzah with the Korban Pesach. That's Pasuk Ches. Okay, so that's good. So that Pasuk isn't talking about, in fact, that Pasuk doesn't say you can't eat chametz. It doesn't even mention any Yisro of chametz. It's a mitzvah to eat matzah. That's fine. So far, so good. So far, so good. And that covers a lot of psukim. But then, That's right. Well, you have to eat a b'chipazin, that's correct. But again, that doesn't bother me because I have no problem with Hashem telling them what the experience is going to be like. In other words, you should know that you're going to leave b'chipazin. That's correct. Now, but then look at Pasuk Yudalit. Actually, Pasuk says both. For 7 days, you shall eat matzah. And on the first day, you destroy the chametz, because anyone who eats chametz shall be chayiv karis from the first day to the seventh day. And if you go down to Pasuk Yates, it says, for 7 days you shall not find, right, lo yeira. So the chayra, how can the Ran say that the yisra of bal yeira, because the yisra of seeing chametz, having chametz, owning chametz, only applied from the second year, and the yisra of eating chametz on the first year only applied the first day, when the Torah says shivas yamim, and Bal Yeiraya, and this was part of the tzivui that was given, right, that was given, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, before Yetzias Mitzrayim, right? So, how is the Ran defensible?
Could you say that when it says, Lo Yid Matzei, it's only talking about in your house? It says, Shivas Yom Sor Lo Yid Matzei V'Latecha. But when they left, they didn't have houses.
Well, let's go a little further, because this is actually not the end of the references. If you keep on going, it talks about Makas Bechoros, etc. Well, okay, that actually is accurate. Well, you know, that is possible, but again, I mean, the problem basically is this. The problem basically is that this very pasuk is the pasuk we use for the lav. And the Gemara has a drasha why it's not only the bias, right? So, based on different wordings of the Pesukim, so you don't really see in the Pasuk that it has a differential meaning. But the Kenach is this. There's an important Kenach you have to notice here. And that is, look at Pasuk Yudalit. From Pasuk Aleph to Pasuk Yudimel are the laws of Korban Pesach and Mitzrayim. Pasuk Yudalit is saying how Pesach will be observed in the future. Haya hayom hazeh lachem l'zikaron v'chagosem oso chag l'ashem l'doroseichem. So, the way it works according to the Ran is the following. Yes, Hashem did tell them that first year that in the future you're going to have an Isra Chametz for 7 days and an Isra Bal Yeraya. And he told them that before they knew the reason. The reason, in fact, is the Chipazon. But it's still true that first year they had the opportunity to let their dough rise, because the commandment of Shivas Yamin is L'Doy Reiseichem, only the future generation. In other words, there's a composite commandment here. Hashem, let's forget about reasons for a moment. The Ran is saying, Hashem is giving them two commandments. Commandment one is, this year, you are hereby commanded to eat matzah the night of the Seder, and not eat chametz the first day of Pesach. Next year, I'm telling you, the commandments are going to be stricter. You will not be allowed to eat chametz all 7 days of Pesach, and you're not allowed to own chametz. That will happen next year. Why will it happen next year? I'm not telling you. The Torah then goes on and gives the story of the Jews being kicked out of Mitzrayim b'chipazayim, where they could have made their chametz for the next day, and they didn't. They now understand why Hashem said, next year, you're not allowed to eat chametz for 7 days because of chipazayim. You see how the Ran doesn't explain all of this, but other mefarshim flesh out the Ran here. So the Ran doesn't mean they weren't given the commandments of 7 days till after that maisa. No, they were given the commandment beforehand, but the reason for the commandment wasn't Niskala until the historical event occurred. Right? So, it turns out the following, though. So now we have to understand something. If indeed the matzah, the yisur of chametz. In fact, you don't have to eat matzah the other 7 days, but the yisur of chametz for the other 7 days, the other 6 days, is because of chipazayim. So how do we understand, after you have the inyan of chipazayim, why I eat matzah the first night? In other words, even before the mice of chipazayim happened, they were chayav to eat matzah the first night and couldn't have chametz that first day. Why was that? Was that like a partial commemoration of chipazayim, even though it didn't happen yet? Or does it have a totally different significance? So the emes is, the Ramban says, that matzah bichlal has two different reasons. There are two different reasons why we eat matzah. One reason is matzah is a zecher l'chipazayim. The other reason is matzah is a zecher of slavery and persecution that is called lechem oni, the bread of affliction. Do you see, these are two contradictory things. On one hand, when I eat matzah, I remember the speed by which I left Mitzrayim. So matzah is the sign of redemption, albeit b'chipazay. But the other getter is, matzah is a zecher of Abdus. The Ibn Ezra says they used to give slaves matzah when he traveled in India. He noticed that the Maharajas used to give their slaves matzah because matzah stays in your stomach for a very long time, so they don't have to feed you a lot. So the Ibn Ezra says the reason matzah is called the bread of affliction is Paro. Paro fed the Yidden matzah. That's what they ate. Right? You only eat a little bit of matzah and you're full for a long time. So, this is an interesting idea. That's why in the Haggadah we actually have two different paragraphs describing matzah. Think about it. In the beginning of the Seder, we say, Hal lachma anya, this is the bread of affliction that our forefathers ate in Egypt. In other words, it's the bread of slavery. What do you say towards the end of Maggid? You quote Rabban Gamliel. The dough of our forefathers didn't have time to rise. The matzah of redemption. So the machshava that one has to think about is this, though. According to the Ran's dichotomy, that the first year you were allowed to eat chametz after the first day, and there was no issue of al yiraya. So it's arguable that the reason I eat matzah the first night is not the same reason I eat matzah the other days. That the first night is bi'ikr lechem oni, because I commemorate the slavery, and the chipazin is only later. But that's actually shver, because the Haggadah clearly says you have both reasons. The Haggadah gives you both reasons for matzah. Yeah?
Which principle would we say applied to the Avos, Abraham and Matzah?
Well, our assumption would have to be that the Avos with Ruach HaKodesh kept the Torah in the form that it eventually applied to the Jewish people. Now, eventually, the permanent mitzvah was you couldn't have chametz for 7 days. So we would have to assume that that is what Avraham Avinu did. Avraham Avinu did not do the temporary mitzvah of Mitzrayim. He did the permanent mitzvah. Okay? So we'll talk about this more. I just wanted to plant the seed here that, what you discover, I'm sure you've discovered it in many other areas too. Sometimes the things that many of you may have learned as young children are not as simple as one might think. This idea that matzah is because of chipazayim creates a great circularity if there's already an Isher Chametz, and the Ran gives a teretz. But by the Ran differentiating between the first day and the other days, that might suggest that the first day is not because of chipazayim. It's because of lechem oni. And this is going to have some very, very interesting nafkaminas. I'll discuss it tomorrow. Okay, does everyone understand? I guess what's very important is how the Ran will interpret the psukim. Because the psukim do say there was an issur of chametz for 7 days, but the kinach is, that's only after the Torah says, l'doro seichem, this shall be for your generations, this is the law that shall apply. So that first year, they could have let their dough rise. And the Mela, it's a zecher l'chipasin. Yeah.
Just according to the Ram, would that mean that they would have been baking two batches that night? Meaning, they had to eat independently matzah that night?
Yes.
Now, the Ram's saying also they were going to bake matzah to take with them.
Well, the answer has to be that obviously, if their dough didn't have time to rise, and it only takes 18 minutes for dough to rise, we're not talking about stuff they baked Erev Pesach to eat with the Korban Pesach. We're talking about towards the break of dawn, they started making bread for the Derech.
So they baked the matzah that night earlier.
Right. Yeah, that must have been earlier. That must have been Erev Pesach. Or at least earlier in the night. But this is bread that is Seidel LaDerech. And the Ron's learning that Seidel LaDerech could have been chametz, at least for the next day. Now, what would they eat the first day? That you could ask, but that might be for that they have extra matzah from the Korban Pesach.
Why would they have? We said they only left it about sunrise.
Yeah.
So they start baking matzah like 20 minutes before.
Well, sunrise. That would be the assumption. Like, why did they start? You know, why couldn't they start earlier? I mean, after all, so it really depends. That's another machlokas. Is the zman of the Korban Pesach chatzais or all night? Now, if it's all night, you could say they were celebrating the Korban Pesach till the break of morning, right? If it's chatzais, they had plenty of time to bake the bread. So, we'll pack up. Well, you're right. Packing up is quite complicated. You know, it's a big deal. I mean, 600, 3 million people having to pack up. You know, it's a pretty big deal actually. But we'll go over this some more. But I just want you to understand the dichotomy of how the Ron understands the story.
Presumably, I mean, they were slaves. They didn't have a lot of stuff.
Well, but remember, they had gold and silver. And remember that before this, they borrowed. They didn't borrow. They took the gold and silver and clothing. So they actually did have a lot of stuff when they left it. Now, that's why Rashi quotes a Gemara in Brachos that Moshe had to beg the people to take the stuff from the Egyptians. Moshe had to say, please, please, take the stuff. Because people didn't want it, they just said, let's just get out of here. You know, we don't want to, number one, we don't want to antagonize the Egyptians. They'll run after us with gold and silver. In fact, that's part of why the Egyptians followed Paro. Not so much because they wanted the Jews back, but they wanted to get their stuff back. And they also said, we don't want to spend time packing. We don't want to get out. We don't want to delay getting out of here. You know, imagine if you have a chance to get out of a concentration camp. You know, you're not going to start looking for stuff to take with you. Just get out. So, ain't a finami. Okay, let's see. Take care.
Oh, wasn't an issue with them giving up their jewelry as well when they were in the Midbar?
Yes. But there it was the opposite. See, that's exactly the point. You know, until you get it, you're willing to give it up. Once you have it, it affects you. That's how possessions are. You know, until you're in the rat race, you know, it doesn't necessarily pull you that much. Once you're in it, once you're making the money, it's very hard. That's the big, I don't want to be too preachy, but this is a big nisayon. You know, people who are living in Eretz Yisrael, they're living kollel, you know, they're living reduced, you know, not great. They say, I'll go back to America for 2 years, you know, make a lot of money, and then come back to Eretz Yisrael. You know, you don't realize how enormously hard that is. Once a person gets used to a relatively luxurious lifestyle, it's extremely difficult to come down. So that idea of going for a year or two is not always such a great answer. Okay. Yeah.